time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt here with us in studio, and joining us through the magic of Zoom this afternoon is the author of several previous collections of poetry, including Far From the Temple of Heaven and Lessons Learned, Poetry of the Vietnam War and Its Aftermath. Last week, Bruce read some poems from his new collection, The Stinger, but we have the man himself joining us this afternoon, Dale Ritter Bush. Dale, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate this.
Well, Dale, this is such a fine collection, and I like the introduction because I think that it makes the case, as these poems do, that poems about sports are about more than just sports. We love to say that a quarterback is poetry in motion or whatever, liken sport to poetry, but you take this a whole lot deeper. Now, these have been gathered over a long time. How many years does this reflect of writing sports poetry?
I actually don't know, but it's been a good part of my writing life, so probably almost since the very beginning. It seems like a natural thing to do.
It does, and these poems seem to roll very naturally. When you imagine putting these together, I think one of the most interesting things is we didn't get a book of football poetry or baseball poetry. We got that covers so many different sports. The broadest concept of sports, probably of any poetry collection I've come across. Was that your intent, or did it just work out that way?
I think in some measure it's more than likely intentional. I mean, every day, every night, if we turn on the TV, we are bombarded with the news, weather, sports. It's not like we get news, weather, and the latest happening in the realm of particle physics or something like that. Sports are very much a part of our culture. They're inescapable. We grew up playing sports. They're an expression of our youthful exuberance, our energy. And so sports, athletic endeavors are just a part of who we are. And naturally then, sports would find their way into some literary treatment.
What I find fascinating, though, is that when you and I were both much younger, except for maybe ABC's Wide World of Sports, you saw football, basketball, baseball, depending where you lived, ice hockey. We didn't see a lot of the other sports that we now see through ESPN, right? or all these other competitive bass fishing tournaments. I mean, I still find that one a hard one to get my head around, and I'm a fly fisherman like you. But when you write a poem and it's a very personal one, like maybe Coyote Sanga or She Throws Like a Girl, sledding, those kinds of poems, are you seeing it first as a poem, and then it's just the sport that becomes the context, or are you trying to contextualize it in sport?
I think in this collection, and I think it's true largely of sports literature in their entirety, sports are very much working metaphorically. They're not the dominant presence in the literature. They are the background, the backstory. And you bring the sports into play so that they can explain, again, a great deal of what makes us human beings living in this culture that is as sports-centered as it is.
Well, rather than me ask you more questions, and you have so many great poems, I'm sure you have a few picked out. I haven't heard you read since the underground wine bar in Limoges, France, in 2019, and I'm amazed that we are all able to complete the reading and still get home without stumbling out with all that fine wine.
But yes, yes.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a great experience. Look forward to doing that again.
Yeah, me too.
So what would you like me to read?
Whatever you'd like to read, sir, because they're all good.
Well, okay, you had mentioned She Throws Like a Girl.
Great poem.
And let's see if I can find that one.
Page 50, yeah.
Right. She keeps the bat off her shoulder, concentrates on the pitch, waits, measures its speed, isn't fooled by any fakery in my windup, nails it, drives it hard over the neighbor's fence. And I'm happy as any father can be. She has a good eye, loves the feel of making contact, the sound, the resonant movement of the world driven deep. When we play catch, she lacks control, especially when she wings it, trying to put some real speed on the ball. She's just like her father, and the reason I played right, good catch, lousy throw to second or third. So I wonder how she'll do in a game, but when the ball jams into the gap, she runs it down, whirls, takes a step, and throws it, a sharp, hard liner that goes back the same way it came out. And the girl playing second doesn't have to move the target of her glove. She takes the runner for an easy out. And I think how my daughter throws like a girl, my girl, with an arm like spring steel.
I love that poem because I'm sure that there were people that would see the title of that and judge you to be a terrible person.
I have had people, without even listening to the poem, they're immediately just struck off. They don't like that at all. Yes.
One of the things you like to do is to run and in the evenings. I was a sprinter and always decided that more than 400 yards was redundant. You've been around the track once. Yes. But I've had great reverence for runners, and we've had a lot of running people on, talked about a lot of running books and the like. What do you find? Do you find that when you run, poems come into your head? Or do you find it's afterwards?
I'm not even sure if I know how to answer that, because poems come from just about everywhere. And obviously they're very much related to experience, but running is a good time really to meditate about different things. I mean, you keep your mind on the running, and it just simply sparks a number of things in your imagination. So sometimes later on, you might bring those into play on the page.
I do that when I skate. If I'm skating laps up at the Alfond Arena, I can skate for an hour nonstop, and the poems and whatever keeps going into my head. Well, why don't we hear another one from you? We're listening to Dale Ritterbusch read here on Downtown.
Well, let me do another one about my daughter then. This is a basketball poem entitled Sixth Grade Buckets. She takes the inbound pass, drives down the right-hand side of the court every time, always dribbling with her right hand until everyone knows what she'll do. Every defensive player, every parent sitting in the bleachers. And I can't help but think how many times I told her, dribble with your other hand, go down the left side or into the center, mix it up a bit, fake them out once in a while, catch the defense off guard, keep them guessing. But she doesn't, even in practice. So in a tournament, when they're behind by two, time running out, she does the same thing, rides the right side until this big girl, arms like a dancing bear, moves across the court anticipating the pick and stops my daughter cold. The bear moves her long arms to prevent a pass, leans over to tie up the ball. But my daughter fakes to her right, moves left, shifting the ball to her left hand, catching the defender flat-footed, going the wrong way. And in a move so quick she surprises everyone, she drives to the hoop and lays it up to tie the game. They win it easy in overtime. And on the way home, where I've learned not to say anything about the game, not even a hint or the mildest suggestion about her play, she says, "When we get home, how about we go out and shoot some hoops? There's plenty of time before dark." And I smile, thinking there's plenty of time even for me to learn this game.
I love that poem.
That's wonderful.
That's really a fine poem. And what I like about this, when you write poems that have to do with your daughter, is that there are always poems about discovering something. They're not poems about just telling us a story. It's about the poet discovering what the story is. I find that to be a hallmark of the best sports poetry. I think that's true of so many of Ron Smith's good sports poems, mm-hmm. Don Johnson, people that we know. Is there a poet more than any other that influenced you in the way you look at sport and poetry?
Boy, that's a hard one to answer. I think really Sports poetry is like any other poetry. It's like what Emily Dickinson said. She would know a poem if it made her so cold, no fire could ever warm her, if it took the top of her head off. And that's what we're expecting from any poetry, whether it's about sports or not. So that's what you're trying to do as a writer, is to reach people by writing something that is strong and powerful and compelling. And Dale, if you're not, you might as well be writing a beach novel or something.
I agree.
Dale, could I make a request? Because there are so many wonderful poems, but I especially loved, and it's on page 63, so you can find it quickly, Garage Day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, Garage Day. Cleaning out his cluttered garage, he finds an old fielder's mitt, leather cracked and stiff, after years lost in the accumulated debris of minor triumphs, minor defeats, accumulations of little consequence, passing from one interest to the next, passing time as he used to, throwing baseballs, tennis balls, even golf balls at odd angles, bouncing them off garage walls, the roof, impossible caroms out of corners that he definitely caught or came close to, making spectacular catches. The energy of the ball, its wicked spin, caught deep in the glove, tamed like nothing else since. He tosses a ball in the air, catches it, throws, catches it again and again, takes a hard grounder off the garage door, a wicked hop to the chest, throws, catches, throws, in ritual, familiar as a sacrament, until crickets sing in the shadows, until the sky softens like his glove to evening.
I love that. That is so great. And that's the power of sport, too, that just, and I can almost smell that glove as he picks it up,
yes.
Just what it does to transport us back in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the image of the sky softening like his glove gone to evening, it just, I put the book down for a second, that one. I liked that so much, and I said to myself, you know, I don't know, Bruce, if you've come up with anything that good yet. That's a really, really fine line.
Thanks.
Well, you know, if you got one more you want to do, or do you want us to make a request? Or,
well, why don't I start off with the, or end it up with the title poem of the piece?
That sounds very good. I love it.
Okay. The Stinger. Mama's boy, my stepfather said, always running behind your mother's skirt. We got along that way for years, a tension sharp as a hunting knife between us. But when the pretense was down, we'd play catch, usually at evening, after supper, when the sun left a lengthening shadow across the yard. He'd throw them soft at first, maybe a little spin, a curve that I'd misread, maybe a throw to the side I'd have to stretch for. I'd wing it back, and when I threw one wide and low, he missed it, had to run across the flower bed to chase it down. The next few were the same speed, same placement, setting me up for the stinger, a ball thrown sharper, harder with movement that made me think or guess in the deepening shadows of the setting sun. I'd take them hard in the webbing of my glove, the speed, the force pulling my glove back, pushing it into my chest, sometimes close to my face, then harder, where I'd miss it with the web, catch it in the pocket where it reddened my hand, bruising the bone, the stinger showing me throw after throw what he meant. Mama's boy, it said, burning my hand with each catch. Mama's boy, as the sky reddened like a welt.
Don't get any better than that, Dale. I'm telling you, that's a fabulous poem, and The whole collection is great, and I've said to people, if all you did was read the introduction, you would learn a great deal. It's a fabulous collection. It is from Electric Blue Press, and you get a hold of them at I want to make sure I get the website right. Electric Blue, the E and the B, Electric Blue Publishing at gmail.com. That's Electric Blue Publishing, one word, at gmail.com. It's a tremendous collection of poems, and I sure hope we can have you back again sometime, Dale, because this has been a real pleasure.
That would be great. Thank you. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you very much. That's Dale Ritterbusch joining us from his home, and you got to go out and get it, The Singer. It's a great, great book, folks. Don't miss it.
Absolutely.